I want to talk about Purushottam Yoga. These verses are so nice. This is how to divert the attention from the material world. That is that there's variety here in this material world that's attractive, because variety means ananda. Ananda means variety. And the variety of the material world, as we know from practicing this month, all month long, we've been practicing Purushottam Yoga. Hare Krishna. Purushottam Yoga, everyone knows now very clearly from the 15th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, right? Because everyone here, and guess what? Everyone in Japan and China is also doing. Because when we heard that you were all chanting every day the 15th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, we also recommended to the devotees in Japan, and they all signed up for chanting this month, and in China also. And this chapter, Purushottam Yoga, ends with a verse in the 20th verse, and the last part of the purport, Srila Prabhupada speaks about weakness of heart. So I wanted to talk a little bit about that tonight because it's an important topic. Let's look at the last purport in the chapter, especially the second part of chapter 15. Page 653, Srila Prabhupada's purport. While one is performing devotional service in the association of pure devotees in full Krishna consciousness, there are certain things which require to be vanquished altogether. The most important thing one has to surmount is weakness of the heart. The first fall down is caused by the desire to lord it over material nature. Thus one gives up the transcendental loving service of the Supreme Lord. The second weakness of heart is that one increases the propensity to lord it over material nature. He becomes attached to matter and the possession of matter. The problems of material existence are due to these weaknesses of heart. In this chapter, the first five verses describe the process of freeing oneself from these weaknesses of heart, and the rest of the chapter, from the sixth verse through the end, discusses Purushottam Yoga. So let's talk about this. First of all, there's two weaknesses of heart that Srila Prabhupada is mentioning here. It's an initial attraction to matter, and then it's a progressive increasing of attachment to matter and wanting to possess it. These are described as weaknesses of heart. In the Harinam Chintamani, Bhakti Thakur Haridas also speaks about weakness of heart being one of the reasons that we are unable to chant Hare Krishna properly and purely. And in this purport, Srila Prabhupada says that the first five verses of this chapter describe how to become free from weakness of heart. So, what about the first five chapters tell us how to become free from the weakness of heart? He goes right for it. Okay. So, in the third verse of the 15th chapter, we hear Asanga Shastrena Dridhina Chitva. There's a description from the very beginning of this chapter of the material world. Metaphor is given of a banyan tree. It has its roots upward and its branches down. The leaves of the Vedic hymns. The leaves are what make a tree attractive. And the Vedic hymns, for most part, advertise happiness within the material world, don't they? For the most part. Do you agree with that statement? For the most part, the Vedas describe happiness in the material world. Do you agree or disagree? Huh? You agree, then let's have Shastra Praman. Prove it from the Bhagavad Gita that for the most part, the Vedas describe happiness within the material world, or what we'll say, existence within the three modes of material nature. Bring them on. Okay. 42, 43? Okay, who wants to recite them? Microphone, you going for it, Rakshit? Is that what we're looking for?
Yes, in the second chapter, 42, 43, the translation is, men of small knowledge are very much attached to the flowery words of the Vedas, which recommend various fruitive activities for elevation to heavenly planets, resultant good birth, power, and so forth. Being desirous of sense gratification and opulent life, they say that there is nothing more than this. And also verse, text 45, refers to the Vedas as well. The Vedas deal mainly with the subject of the three modes of material nature. O Arjun, become transcendental to these three modes. Be free from all dualities and from all anxieties for gain and safety, and be established in the self.
Thank you. That proves it. So the Vedas are mainly deal with the three modes of material nature. There are ritualistic performances in the Vedas so one can elevate oneself to the heavenly planets and enjoy. And Krishna says he's recommending to go beyond those descriptions in the Vedas of the three modes that pertain to the three modes of material nature and become situated transcendentally. And so in the first five verses, Krishna is describing the banyan tree of the material world. It's got roots upwards, branches down to the leaves of the Vedic hymns. It's attractive, this idea of elevation and some kind of happiness within the material world. And it's very difficult to see where we are in this tree. Narupama sieha tato palabhyate nanto na chadirna chasam pratishta ashvatamenam suvarudamulam asanga shastrina dritena chitva. We can't see its form because we're right in the middle of it. And an example is that of not seeing it, that when I'm born in this world, I come out and I think that I belong to a certain place. Actually, I have no idea who I am. But as Satyadeva Prabhu says, as soon as you're born, somebody comes out and slaps a name tag on you. Here's who you are. What do we call him? Let's call him this. Slap. And what was he just 2 seconds before they slapped a name tag on him? You have an eternal nature and you have an eternal designation. But now you're designated. You've come out into a Chennai, or you've come out into Burlingame, and now you're going to root for a certain team, and you're going to identify yourself with a certain nation and family, and the implications are endless, actually. I can't see the beginning or the end. You just think, this is who I am, this is where I am. Bewildered by the three modes of material nature, this convoluted tree. So now, asanga shastrena dritena chitva. The purpose of the Vedas, actually, is to know how to cut down the tree. Sounds drastic, doesn't it? Well, that spiritual life is drastic. It's not a plaything. It means cutting down the tree. When Arjuna went into the battle of Kurukshetra, there was no playing around anymore. He had to cut his false ego out. He had to go after people he thought were his own. He had to kill them by Krishna's order. And one has to die to live. You have to die to live. Die, the material conception of life must die in order for me to live my spiritual life. Asanga shastrena dridhena, must be very determined. Chitva, you have to cut it down. You have to cut that down. How's it done? What's the process for cutting down the tree? What does Srila Prabhupada say in this context? What is the actual process? Let's get it down to one thing so we know how to do it. Yeah, asanga shastrena dridhena chitva, that's the topic. That's what we're talking about. Krishna says asanga. Asanga means what? It means detachment. Specifically, it means detachment from sense gratification and from the bodily conception of life. Shastrena means what? A weapon. Chitva, cutting. So what is that weapon? How do we do it? Okay, Shraddha Devi Dasi is saying by Shastra. So there's two things. We're talking in this verse about Shastra, and then there's another word, Shastra. So Shastra means weapon, Shastra means scripture, and they do the same thing, actually. So this is what Prabhupada says within the purport. By hearing about the spiritual science in the association of devotees and discussing it, one gains knowledge. And that knowledge, Krishna describes in the fourth chapter how powerful that knowledge is. He says that it's like a fire, jnana agni, sarvakaramanam. It can burn to ashes all of the reactions of one's sinful activities. All karma becomes burned to ashes by this knowledge. And that can be gained in the association of devotees. So this is the process for becoming extricated from the tree, for cutting it down, for cutting down the tree. That means to give full attention to the transcendental subject matter by hearing. Stani stita shuti gatam tanuvan manobir. By hearing about Krishna in the association of devotees, then one cuts down the tree. Now there are other recommendations within the first five chapters for how to become free from the weaknesses of heart. There are processes recommended. And also, the very theme of the first five verses, that this material world is a reflection, are instructive as well about how we can become transferred to the spiritual world and give up the weakness of heart, which means attachment to the material world. So let's talk about that. Yes.
Krishna is referring to that soul who has become free from illusion, one who is done with material lust in this universe, knows the eternal, and is ready to surrender to the Supreme Person without becoming bewildered, because some people may have knowledge about surrendering, but they are bewildered to surrender. Here is a soul who is beyond that, ready to surrender. Such a person can reach the eternal kingdom.
Raksha Jariwal is absorbed in the Bhagavad Gita. That is evident. So this verse, Nirmana Moha Jita Sangha Dosha, it starts off Nirmana. Nirman means be free from false prestige. So this is a practice recommended by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself. Where does he recommend it? Shikshashtakam? And where did you say? Okay, Shikshashtakam. What's the verse? Trinad api sunichena, toror api sahishnuna, amanina manadena, kirtaniya sadahari. In speaking about this verse is mentioned in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that this is a verse we should wear around our neck as a garland, as we're practicing devotional service. This will serve us perfectly if we do this. If we wear this verse around our neck, Trinadapi Sunichena, it means to be as humble as grass, as tolerant as a tree. Trinadapi Sunichena, Toror Iva Suhishnuna, Amanina Manadena, and not to expect want respect from others, but to give respect to others, all respect to others, without expecting anything in return. To be ready to give respect to all others without expecting anything in return. Are you ready for that? Are you ready? Ready to give respect to all others and no respect in return. Are you ready for that? You ready? So be ready. This is the preliminary practice of this Purushottam Yoga, and for extricating ourselves from the tree. It means to become free from false prestige. What does prestige mean? Let's look it up. Too bad we don't have Bhakti Jonathan here. He's prestige. See where the word comes from. False prestige. And we know, huh? Yes, definitely. It's false ego. It's thinking, well, Prabhupada describes it actually in this verse. Oh my goodness, I owe $5. Not very good. I'll pay right after class. I think I need change for 100 though. Here's one of the most inspiring lines in this 15th chapter. As a matter of fact, when I was in New York City and I was going out to distribute books on the street, I was going out with one brahmachari who was very inspired. And we were reading this book when he picked me up from the airport on the way back to our Sankirtan spot. And we heard this one line and we decided to use it when we were out distributing books. And actually it's in the third. Okay, Srila Prabhupada says in the middle of the purport, when one is free from delusion caused by pride, he can begin the process of surrender. For one who is always expecting some honor in this material world, it is not possible to surrender to the Supreme Person. Pride is due to illusion. For although one, here's the line. For although one comes here, stays for a brief time, and then goes away, he has the foolish notion that he is the lord of this world. So I come here for a short amount of time, and I just experienced this in traveling from one country to the next. Every place you go, you have to fill out all this paperwork to get into the border. And they're really serious about it, too. They're really serious about it. They want to know where you're going, who you're with, what is the Hare Krishna, who you're with, and all about you, you know, your passport number, everything. So when you're going through the immigration and customs and everything like that, they look very carefully, and they're all official. They have uniforms, and you've entered in a new country. And when you think about it, really, it's just somebody arbitrarily divided it up. And in some places, if you look at the geographical map, you see the countries get divided over and over again because people fight over them, like Iraq. Online for a while, there was a map that would change colors to show how many different regimes had controlled Iraq over the years. They were kind of showing how ridiculous it was for America to think they could go in there and control something. And it would change colors according to who owned it at a certain time. So this idea of coming into this world and that I own this property. There's a song, actually, that we used to sing when I was a kid. My mom taught it to me about America. This land is your land. This land is my land from the Redwood Shores. There's a whole song about how this is my land, you know. And, of course, in school they made us sing America the Beautiful. America the Beautiful. There's all these songs about one's homeland. I'm sure you've heard some from your own homeland too. And everyone gets all teary-eyed when they come up, you know, at the Olympics, when the flag goes up for the Canadian who just won the gold medal, everyone cries, there's my flag, there's my country. But as Prabhupada points out about America, you know, we just stole this from the Indians about 200 years ago through genocide. We came in and killed everyone and took what they already were sitting on. It was their land. Now it's my land. This is false prestige. I come in for a while. Now I think this is mine. And I come into this. I'm born out of a certain womb and I think this is my family. These are all my things, but they have to be taken back. So one of the practices of Purushottam Yoga is Nirman. Nirman means that I'm free from false prestige. This is a practice. One must practice this. Trinadapi suni chena toror av ivasu hishnuna. To be just like a tree, tolerant. A tree tolerates so many things. It can be cut down, chopped up. Dogs come and urinate on it, whatever, it just stands there and it tolerates. So nirmana and nirmana moha, one must become free from illusion, jitta sangha dosha, and free from false association. Actually, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when asked, what is a Vaishnav, said, asanga, he said, asatsanga tyag, one who gives up false association. Jitta sangha dosha, so we have to become free from false association. And adhyatma nitya vinivritta kama. Adhyatma means that one should be meditating on the super soul. We should be aware that we're not the body, and actually that the super soul is the ultimate controller of everything. I'm not. I'm simply swimming in an ocean of the material world. Adhyatma nitya vinivritta kama. And vinivritta kama means that I've turned away from lust. So this is a big deal, because the material world goes on as a result of lust, attraction for the sense objects, asat trishna, or things that are asat. They're not permanent, but I have trishna, I have a thirst for them, so they're sukama. So how does the description of the banyan tree free us from this attraction or lust for the material world? Any comment? And how to transfer ourselves toward the reality. Microphone.
Just the structure of the banyan tree, it is so complex, with roots going up and down, branches going up and down. So that talks about the entanglement into the material world. So when you look at that mess, you know, it rather try to stay away from that mess.
Well, you can try to stay away from that mess, but it's not easy, is it?
No.
Because what else do you have? And now this comes to the point. Knowing that the material world, the boundary of the material world is a mess, and that it's entangling, having that knowledge is very important. But now, how do you transfer? Where do you transfer your intelligence? Where do you transfer your concentration, your intention? To Krishna. And where does it say that in the first five verses of the 15th chapter? Yes, that's it. Say it.
Tatah padam tat parimargitavyam yasmin gata na nivartanti bhuya tameva chadyam purusham prapadye yatah pravruttir prashruta purani. Thereafter, one must seek that place from which, having gone, one never returns, and there surrender to that Supreme Personality of Godhead, from whom everything began and from whom everything has extended since time immemorial.
So we're turning away from the banyan tree of the material world because we understand that it's a reflection. But we have to have something to turn toward. We have to turn toward the substance, the reality, what's the spiritual world. Interesting verse, most of you know from reciting the verses we do in the, as an addition to the Mangalacharna on Saturday mornings. Yuvatinam yata yuni yunam cha yuvatau yata mano biramate tadvan mano me ramatam tvayi. Rupa Goswami said, just the way the minds of young girls are attracted to young boys spontaneously, let my mind be attracted to you, Krishna, in the same way. The reflection is this idea. A boy is attracted to a young girl is attracted to a young boy spontaneously, out of habit. This is what goes on in the material world perpetually. It's attraction for the opposite sex, which makes everything move. Pumsa striya maituni bhavamitam tayomrito hridaya grantamahu ato griyakshetra sutapta viter janasya moho yamahamameti. This leads to the illusion, to the entanglement in the tree of the material world, isn't it? So Rupa Goswami is saying, Hare Krishna. Rupa Goswami is saying, let me transfer that same attraction that I have with the same spontaneous kind of attraction that I have as young boys have for young girls have for young boys. Let me be attracted to you, to Madan Mohan. He's the one who attracts our attention, Madan Mohan. He goes on from there. Actually, he says, lovers, sometimes they write each other letters. And when the letter's in the mail, one lover is thinking, when's that letter going to arrive? And when he gets the letter in his hands are shaking like this. And he can barely open the letter. And he's thinking, what's the letter going to say? And he opens the letter and he begins, oh, dear, Dilip, you know. And, you know, he's perspiring. And his hairs are standing on end, reading this love letter. So Rupa Goswami says, let the same emotions come to me when reading the Shastra. When I hold the Srimad Bhagavatam in my hand, please let me have those same feelings as a lover would reading a love letter. And this is in full-blown love for God. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't have a Bhagavatam. They didn't let him have it because the copy he had was ruined from tears pouring from his eyes constantly. You look at it, it was washed away. It was all written by hand, and then he cried so much he couldn't keep it. Gadadhar Pandit would read it to him, the Bhagavatam. But Mahaprabhu, when he touched the Bhagavatam, he would feel that same ecstasy. And Rupa Goswami says that for a family man or woman, the sounds of the household, the children laughing, crying, all the relatives arguing, discussing all kinds of topics, who won the cricket match, how much money we have in the bank, all these things, it's like the chirping of birds. And for the person conditioned by the tree of the material life, he thinks, this is very nice. This sound is very beautiful. It's my family. You see all the time. So absorbed. So he said, in the same way, let my mind be attracted to the holy names. With that same feeling that this is satisfying, this is home, hearing the sound of the holy names. So the reality is there. This is apparent from the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna is saying the reality is there in the spiritual world. The same variety, the same spontaneous love and attraction. But here it's perverted reflection. And if you don't know that, then you're just going to go on perpetually. That's why it's called avyayam. In the first verse, urdhva mulam adashakam ashvatam prahur avyayam. It's called eternal. And that means that, first of all, ashvata, the ashvata tree, it means this shvata, it means tomorrow. And ashvata means there's no tomorrow. It won't be here very long. For the devotees, it means this banyan tree won't be here very long because they're going back to Godhead. They're leaving it behind. They're going to cut down the tree and leave this place. Nothing left here. And for the materialists, it means that when they end this life, everything they accumulated is going to be left behind. The tree they've cultivated in this life, they don't get to keep it. They'll end up in the next life, back in the banyan tree, starting in a new situation. Yes.
One of the questions that comes up about the banyan tree and the truth about it that is revealed is that it is just a reflection, a perverted reflection of the material world. For a materialist, how is that transference going to occur? That is, the transference from coming to this realization that it is perverted to placing the attention on Krishna, because that again is a leap from realizing the material tree is false and then knowing that what has to be done really is meditate on Krishna, focus on Krishna. It would seem that for a materialist there would be that step to take and that transition would have to occur. Therefore, the devotee, he's already in knowledge, he's in association, but we are also addressing to the materialists that this is what needs to occur. So it would seem that the materialist would have to be led in some way, or would have to come into contact with devotees, or have to come into knowledge to be able to take that step.
Prasadam. They have to get prasadam. Yeah, that's the first step. When people get prasadam and they taste it and they experience that this is different, and it's not something that they grasp with their intelligence, but they'll feel this alternative. Krishna consciousness is experiential, actually. When people come into the environment where there's prasadam, where's the holy names, and there's some nice philosophy, they experience something. They experience a change of heart. And it's not an intellectual exercise, but Krishna actually helps from within the heart. And it works everywhere. Doesn't matter where you go in the world, it always works. You have the holy name, and you make it as nice as possible. The holy name, prasadam, and a little philosophy. And then people don't want to leave. They don't want to go home. They get a higher taste. They feel that they've got something. They're not sure what it is yet, but they want to come back for more. And that's how Krishna consciousness spreads. It spreads because it is superior, and you can experience it for yourself. Raja Vijaya Raja Guyam Pavitram Idamuttamam Pratyaksha Vagamam Dharmyam Susukam Kartamavyam. Krishna says, it's the king of education, it's the most secret of all secrets. It's the perfection of religion because it's directly perceived. One experiences it for him or herself just by being in the environment. So that's our job, actually, is to transfer people, is to create the environment. You can do it in your home, you can do it on the street, you can do it in a temple. Anywhere you go, if you create that environment, people will experience it and they'll become attracted. The only thing that will solve all problems is finding out who Isha is. Who's Isha? Everyone wants to know. And we know. We're getting it from the right source. It's coming down to us. And if you have the right source and you know that, then you can fly freely. When I was flying back to Tokyo from China, I had to stop Hong Kong and then come into Tokyo. It was very foggy at Narita Airport. And up on the movie screen that they provide so that you can watch movies during the flight, when you're landing, they show a picture of what it looks like outside and what the pilot can see, too. And what the pilot could see coming into Narita Airport was nothing. Absolutely nothing. Because it was so fogged in. When you look out the window, you could see nothing except white fog. And when you look at the movie screen that shows, it has a camera shot of what the pilot sees, you could see nothing. And he's flying the plane. And he's landing the plane on a runway that's just, you know, as wide as this building. As I was watching that, I was thinking, how is he doing that? And probably he's carefree also, because he has an instrument panel. And even when it's clear, really he's going by the instrument panel. He learns how to fly by learning how to use the instruments. And he knows, and he's done it enough times that every time he lands the plane, he knows if I put in the right coordinates and I'm watching the instrument panel correctly, whether he can see or he can't see, he knows the plane's going to land and everything's going to be okay. So similarly, we can't see anything either in this world. We're blind. We're flying blind. Isn't that wonderful? We don't know what's going to happen next. I used to, when I lived in the Brahmacharya Ashram in St. Louis, I had a very close friend named Shankar Pandit. He's still there in the Midwest. But he had a saying that we all picked up on. He used to say all the time, you know, I just don't know what's going to happen. And we always used to say that too. We just don't know what's going to happen. We don't know what's going to happen. We're flying blind in this world. We don't know when we're going to die. We don't know how we're going to get our next meal. We've never starved, though, have we? All these things are going on. And now we're not flying blind because we have our instrument. We have our instrumentation, and that's the Shastra. Guru Sadhu Shastra. That's how we fly. That's how we move ahead in the world. is we becoming advanced in Krishna consciousness, becoming trained in Krishna consciousness, means to fly by instrumentation, not by your own sight. You learn how to take help from the Shastra and line everything up so you come in on the runway correctly and properly. So this is why we go over and over it. And actually, you know, we're imbibing this information. We're testing it out every day in our lives. And we're readying ourselves for the final takeoff and the final landing, actually, you know, when we have to leave this body. It's a big deal. And Prabhupada actually gives this example. He says, when you learn to fly, anybody here know how to fly? Fly a plane? Sonny, you don't fly? I'm surprised if you don't. Not yet. Okay. When you learn how to fly a plane, you go up with an instructor over and over and over again, and then finally you have to do it solo. You have to take your solo flight sometime or other. So Prabhupada compares this death, when we actually have to give up the body. We have so much association. You can have help from your spiritual master. You can help from Shastras, everything else. But finally, you have to fly the plane. It's just you and whatever you've learned, whatever you've imbibed, how to fly, how to fix your mind on Krishna. Yoga yuktena chetasa nanyagamina. So Krishna recommends, fix your mind on me. And he says, practice it. Abhyasa yoga yuktena. Practice it over and over again till you get instrument rated. That's what they call it when you know how to, when you can fly on your own. You get certain ratings, instrument rating. And in devotional service too, the lowest stage of devotional service, Kanishtha Adhikari, he's not instrument rated because he doesn't know Shastra. He knows he likes to fly, but he couldn't fly his own plane. If he comes into a situation where he has to explain the philosophy or argue a certain point, can't do it. He can't back it up with Shastra either. He doesn't know where anything is. Doesn't know where all the instrument panels is. Just know I like to fly. The middle devotee has a lot more faith in flying, but also isn't instrument rated. But topmost devotee, instrument rated. So everyone has to become topmost devotee. Become instrument rated and become comfortable with flying your own plane. Even when it's foggy, even when you can't see, you have to be able to land. And that includes practicing in all kinds of situations in this life. Means there's so many opportunities when we're tested throughout the day to be a kind friend to all living entities, to control our senses. There's six urges of this. There are pushings that are always going on from the senses. Vacho vegam, manasa krodha vegam, jiha vegam, udaropasta vegam, etan vegam, yo vishaheta dira. Sarvam apimam priti vimsa shishyat. And you have to practice controlling the six urges of the senses. When you do, you become Goswami, or a master of the senses. That's real instrumentation, to become controller of the senses. So this is our rigorous practice of devotional service. It must be done every day. It must be done without fail. This is vidhi bhakti, means you have to do it like military, practically, in order to get quick effects. Practice it over and over again and do it in a regulated way. And then gradually, then there's a natural competence that comes. Senses become controlled automatically. Hare Krishna. Any last comments? Information? The place looks great. I could feel it. And I'd like to especially, there's so many new things happening, not the least of which is Deepak coming back here. He went away and came back, and it's all of a sudden he's doing so many things, transforming the place. Thank you. Hare Krishna. And we have this, I noticed on the board, I haven't even had time to look at it, but it's full of information and very inspiring. And I saw the blog. Anybody seen the ISV blog? I guess I just got a preview of it last night. It's beautiful. There's such a nice picture of Shishi Radha Madan Mohan on the outside. I wanted to send it out to everybody so they could just see the picture. It was so nice. And it was a great monthly Sankirtan festival. I heard the news through the internet that all the goals were met. So anyway, I'm so happy to be back. I'm so happy to see everybody. And I'm looking forward to the next MSF, which we officially started last night by reading the prayers for Prahlad Maharaj. Not the prayers of Prahlad Maharaj, but the whole section of the Srimad Bhagavatam. We had a two-hour reading last night over the telephone. And we'll continue that whenever we find time. Some nights are going to be a little busy, but if you don't mind staying up till 11 or 12, we can keep the vibration going. Hansapriya doesn't mind. And then that's the Falur Nrisingadev's appearance day coming up. And then it's sort of a warm-up. We're getting our momentum going because Bhaktivinoda Thakur's disappearance day, monthly Sankirtan festival, is coming up. And especially for that event, we've flown in Praveena's mom all the way from India. She's been specially brought in here just in time for these two marathons so that we can rise up to a higher level. Welcome to ISV. Hare Krishna. Padmavati, right? Pronounce it Padmavati or Padmavati? Padmavati. Hare Krishna. We've been waiting for you for a long time, you know. We're so happy you're here. We heard you do Sankirtan also in your hometown. See? It's our secret. She's our secret weapon. Hare Krishna. So now we'll have Artik, and then after that, we have Prasadam, and then we'll go on hearing and chanting Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai. Gaur Bhaktivinoda ki jai. Gopremanande Aribo. So let's put all the books away as quickly and as efficiently as possible.